Welcome back to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. This is part two of our discussion with Dr. Mark Cannon about the mouth and its influence on virtually every system in the body. We really had a very lively session in part one talking about the impact of the mouth on conditions like obesity, on conditions like celiac disease, on the risk of miscarriage in women, even on blood pressure. And we'll continue in part two. Just to reintroduce Dr. Cannon, he is based in Chicago. He's on the faculty of the Feinberg School of Medicine at Northwestern University. And he is an internationally acclaimed lecturer and researcher, and really, really understands some of the far-reaching implications of oral health on overall health. And so taking up that from part one, so it sounds like you're not a big fan of fluoride applications, or are you? Because there's a lot of controversy about fluoridation. People are, wax very, very excitedly about pro and con about fluoride.
Well, it depends. Everything is dose dependent, isn't it? I mean, the dose makes the poison. And when you're talking about like one part per million in the water supply, that's something that is below what I call the threshold of an issue when it comes to the biofilm.
So you think there's a little bit of hysteria when it comes to the people who are the anti-fluoridationists? That's possibly less consequential.
Well, I had this interesting conversation. This guy is really very known and well-known, and he's very, very bright. And we were talking about different issues, and he said, well, have you ever noticed that when you see these, like, crazy people on the Internet with these crazy theories, and they present their thoughts, and you look at their research, and the research is so flawed. There's, like, terrible data. There's almost no data at all. And they have a horrible methodology. There's no statistics involved. You get to the end, you go, well, their conclusion could be correct.
Okay.
And you run into that. And of course, when it comes to things like
In other words, just because they're paranoid doesn't mean that somebody's not out to get them.
Correct. Absolutely correct. I mean, and so you get to the very end of the whole thing, you end up with a conclusion that, sometimes you have this, especially when we talk about biofilm, this gut feeling, pun intended, and you get this gut feeling about how things are. So fluoride has done a lot, and we should never question that's done a lot when it comes to dental. But like everything else, it could be a dual-edged sword. The problem we have is people want to keep things simple. Keep it simple, stupid, It's just the old concept, and you find people get themselves in a rut. Now, in medicine, for a while, it was with antibiotics. When antibiotics came out, they were a cure for everything. And so you have a cold, you go in, and I would, as a child, get a shot of Pen G, an IM injection of Pen G, because I had a dying virus.
Right.
That really
magical thinking there.
Yeah, it was all magical thinking. Well, fluoride falls into that category. People go, time for your fluoride treatment. Take your fluoride. Do your fluoride this. And they completely forgot that we still have a cavity rate. They completely forgot that didn't take care of everything. And then they give it to little kids. And I don't agree with that. Now, with that, I fight with the American Academy of Pediatrics, American Academy of Pediatric Dentistry, because I say, well, use xylitol. It's perfectly safe. There's no issues. We know it works really well. In fact, I think it works better than fluoride. So use your xylitol products. Nope, let's use fluoride.
What are the products that you particularly favor? Because they're products of varying quality. And also, how do you get a kid to, apply this kind of stuff, especially a very small kid? And we know that infants are actually vulnerable to cavities. We've got to get them really early, but you can't get them to chew gum.
Well, we get them at age one. We start them at age one. They come in for their first checkup, and that is so important at age one to get a child in first checkup. And at the first checkup, we look for all the predisposing factors. And there's many predisposing factors. One is maternal history. You have to know the mom's history, because the mom has presented 83% of the child's bacteria came from the mother. So you want to make sure you know how the mom is.
So she has a lot of cavities. She might be a carrier of strep mutans, which is the bad bug that gives cavities.
Mm-hmm. Right, and many other bad bugs, too, besides that.
That's oversimplifying, so, but that's my yeah. level of knowledge about it.
Yeah, that's perfectly correct. And so we look at that, and then we say, are there enamel defects or not? Because the most predisposing factor, and this has been shown in many studies, for dental decay in small kids, severe early childhood caries, is the presence of enamel defects, and that's genetic. But we can fight against that by using a high calcium phosphate paste known as MI paste.
Which my dentist gave to me, and, you know, which I use, you know. It's sort of like cement, isn't it? You know, calcium phosphate, that's the formula for cement.
Well, it's got calcium in it, it has phosphate in it. It has a dairy carrier, it has casein phosphopeptide, which is a pre-protein that actually encourages the calcium and the phosphate, which is bioavailable to go into the enamel, to be absorbed by the enamel. And we've done research with that, with the how much remineralization we have shown in our studies that does remineralize teeth, and we're very, very pleased because it's ultra safe. A small child.
So the mom can take her forefinger or a Q-tip or something and apply that to the tooth surfaces.
Correct.
And I can attest to the fact it doesn't taste bad. It comes in pleasant flavors.
Yes, it does. And it also, by the way, has xylitol in it.
Oh, okay.
So we do. Yeah, it does. So we try to.
I didn't even know that. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, it has 1% xylitol in it. So. We try to go with a very safe, logical regimen of affecting the bacteria with the xylitol, preventing them from adhering, which the xylitol does. Xylitol itself actually helps remineralization. Believe it or not, it actually helps calcium go into the tooth. We provide more calcium and phosphate in the saliva and to the teeth so they can be remineralized to prevent decay and actually mineralized to begin with to support the enamel defects. And then we treat the mother. We get the mother started with xylitol because studies have shown if the mom uses xylitol with small kids, that the kids, even if she stops by the time the kids are age 2, the kids are still less cavity prone by 75%. It's a huge reduction. Isocanda study was done. And by age 5, they still get 75% fewer cavities. And even 10 years after that, they get fewer cavities because you have permanently changed their biofilm. You've made it healthier to begin with and the healthy bacteria there. And that's why we start the mom often on probiotics, too.
Quick definition of biofilm, please, for our listeners. We've gone over the subject before, but, you know, like to hear a review.
Well, biofilm is when you have a mass of living bacteria, and it can also have in it fungus, have yeast in it, can have viruses in it, and things called protozoans. It's living mass that is on a surface that's in contact with water. That's the actual definition. We're surrounded by biofilm. You go to the grocery store, you push the cart, there's a biofilm on the handle of the cart. And now, biofilms, you often hear of them described as being like a biofilm disease, you know. And that's actually a distorted biofilm. That's a biofilm that's not a natural biofilm that's been distorted by the pathogens, by the bad bacteria, to make it so that it is producing more. And you brought up a very important part by that, because even small babies, if you look at their saliva and you take out samples or saliva and you run a test for the DNA for the bad bacteria in it, you'll find small kids have some of the worst periodontal pathogens you can ever imagine, gum disease pathogens, but the concentration, the number is low, and their immune systems are powerful enough to overwhelm it. And as you know, once the bacteria get to a certain level, then they do something called quorum sensing. They know there's enough of them, and their behavior changes. And they go on the offensive, and all of a sudden you have a rampaging disease.
So there's strength in numbers. When there are a few, you know, hanging out, it's no big deal, but they reach a certain tipping point, and then they take over.
They do, exactly. And they recognize when they get to that certain tipping point, and they know there's enough of them to actually cause a serious infection, and then they go on the offensive. Then the immune system is caught off guard because it didn't know the surprise attack was coming. And so what we try to do is keep them from ever getting to quorum sensing. So it doesn't matter if there's a few pathogens floating around here and there.
So you don't have to eradicate. You don't have to carpet bomb them. You don't have to violently sterilize the mouth with harsh chemicals or antibiotics. You use something to gently suppress the population of bad bugs.
Exactly. And that's the key to health. It's not the presence of the bad bugs, it's the overwhelming presence of the good bacteria. And we think, actually, that at age two, there's a window of infectivity. I mean, we've talked about this, and there's a very brilliant researcher, Dr. Derek Mathabe out of Canada, who's done a lot of work with autism. And, you know, he and Sidney Feingold and many others have shown this connection of autism to a biofilm error, to the gut being off. And they've shown, every study has shown, by the way, that the gut bacteria are different with patients with autism. The other thing, like many of these other disorders, there's a giant skyrocketing level, like celiac disease has skyrocketed far beyond any genetic explanation. I think they expect by 2030 for autism rate, if it continues the way it's going to, have increased by 640%, I think is the estimate. I mean, now we have 1 out of 88 kids being diagnosed as autistic, where it used to be 1 out of 10,000. I mean, you can say anything you want to about better diagnosis. This is not better diagnosis. Something is truthfully going on. Well, early on, because of maternal imprinting, the baby is protected, the portal to the GI tract, by a group of very important strep. And these strep bacteria are beneficial ones, not ones we want to kill with antibiotics. There's strep sanguis, strep salivarius, like we explained before, actually keeps you from getting sick. And then it trades over to more of the lactobacilli, at like 2-ish or 3-ish. We theorize, not much proof, it's a thought, okay, that there's a gap in that window. And during that period of time, there can be a change that occurs that can ricochet throughout the entire gut. And that's why you have this overgrowth of certain clostridia that have been shown in certain propionic bacteria that produce a lot of propionic acid. And that's what we call a short-chain fatty acid that has a neurologic effect. It's neurotoxic. And Dr. McFabe, when he has given this propionic acid to rats, they all behave as if they have autistic behavior. And if you then look at the rat's brain, the architecture, the microarchitecture of that brain, the histology of it matches that of autistic humans.
Oh.
And it's not just been
so
him.
It's a toxic byproduct of certain bacteria that may drive the behaviors.
Yes, and you know, it's like there's anxiety, depression has been shown to be influenced by the gut. In fact, there's a study where they produce experimental gastritis and all the female rats develop anxiety and depression. There's been studies done on humans where with kefir products where they've shown it positively affects behavior and emotional brain tasking after just 30 days of using a kefir. So, yeah, what is in your gut? You know, when people used to say you are what you eat, you behave on what you eat, too.
Wow, that's impressive.
There are in many ways. But going back to the autism, that's one of the things we're starting another study on, where we're actually using a cocktail of the autistic-producing bacteria. And I hope to have Dr. McFabe on board to help us with it. And we're going to be using xylitol to see if we can inhibit these bacteria.
Hmm.
And also a cocktail of certain probiotics that we feel will be strongly inhibitory. We're doing laboratory research on it. We're going to be doing a rat study. And please, people, don't cry about these rats. I mean, they're doing so much good for all of mankind. It's really... Yeah, their sacrifice is very much so appreciated, but the benefits we have from animal research on these matters is really great, and it could benefit a loved one in your family.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, I feel bad about mindless research, you know, some of which, you know, you hear about, you know, ridiculous research projects, but this is one that I think has huge consequences for human health. Briefly touch upon the relationship between perio disease and heart disease. I mean, that's something that I think has really entered the consciousness of even mainstream medical doctors, is that gum disease is a risk factor for heart disease.
And it's a very high risk factor for heart disease. And you actually brought up, when we were talking about animal studies, there's one that was done with pigs. And what they did, they had 36 pigs. This was done out at Chapel Hill, North Carolina. And what they proved in the study, because half of them were on a high-fat diet and half were not on a high-fat diet, and they went in, they sensitized the pigs to a certain type of bacteria, that's called Porphyromonas gingivalis that produces gum disease. And this bacteria produces a lot of these virulence factors, damaging things that open up holes in your defense mechanism. That's how they get through the gums. And they gave the animals, half of them, a little blood supply of these, a little what's called bacteremia. They put some of the bacteria in the bloodstream. And you know what? The ones who developed the heart disease, the ones who developed the arteritis, the inflammation of the blood vessels, were the ones who got the bacteria.
So it wasn't so much about the high-fat diet.
No, it isn't. It's not so much about the high-fat diet. It really isn't. The high-fat diet makes it worse.
Yeah.
It's like with obesity. The high-fat diet changes your gut microbiome. The high-fat diet is what changes the bacteria.
So it's not so much the caloric impact, but the impact of the diet on the microbiome composition. Because we tend to take simplistically, like, you know, we'd load the body with calories, the calories immediately jump into your adipose tissue, but it's not quite so simple. The body is, does some alchemy with the fat.
What we really need is a large clinical study done with people, having all the different types of diets, and then do before and afters, checking that ratio again between the Bacter DDs and Formica DDs, and see which one knocks it off the worst. And then we can say specifically, people, don't eat French fries. You can be perfectly fine having your chocolate cake. Or it might be the reverse. You can eat all the French fries you want. Just don't eat that chocolate cake, because that's what's actually causing the switchover. And so it's not as simple as people like to think, as calories in and calories out.
No.
Sure, of course, if you run, like my youngest son, 5-7 miles a day, you're not going to be fat, because you're burning off an extreme amount of calories, okay? Fine. That's kind of a given. But I don't know about you, Dr. Hoffman. I don't have time to run that much a day.
Well, you are very dynamic. I have to say, though, I do take the time to run and exercise, because I feel that it does increase my productivity, and I could engage myself in other more, quote, productive activities. But ultimately, there's a finite number of hours where I can stay sharp, and running, biking, swimming, helps my brain work better, in my opinion. So, what's our intelligence?
I agree with you. I just think, again, it's one of those things where, there are some people who won't be able to do that because there are time restraints. And it's a combination. Like I said, it's a combination. God bless you for taking good care of yourself. That's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful example, like my youngest son, for people to look at. Going back to Porphyromonas gingivalis, it's one that has been associated somewhat also with Alzheimer's and dementia. It's the same thing with that. That same bacteria, if you combine it with an oral bacteria, Streptococcus pyogenes, when they get together in colonies, they form something called a tyrosine phosphatase, which is an enzyme that increases the bacterial virulence, how bad the bacteria react. And there's one called STEP, which is an enzyme that damages how the brain synapses are reinforced. It actually prevents short-term memory. It prevents short-term memory prevents it from becoming a long-term memory. And so, as we find, because there's a relationship epidemiologically in all the studies between gum disease and Alzheimer's.
Wow, that just blows my mind. That's amazing.
Pun intended?
not intended. Once I get started, you can't stop me.
Okay, good.
Inadvertently punning.
Yeah, it was. And you had a great connection there to that, too, because it's, again, it's going back to the same old story. Take care of your mouth. Take care of your gums. Floss. Use the right products, and you'll be healthier, and your mind will be healthier, your heart will be healthier, you'll be less arthritis, too, which has been associated with it.
Well, that too.
Diabetes also. And, of course, pneumonia is also one of the biggest reservoirs for pneumonia, happens to be in the dental plaque. And that's why they've shown in studies that people in homes, they should, after they have a case of a pneumonia in the institution, they should have their teeth cleaned right away. And the same thing for Helicobacter pylori, because it lives in dental plaque. And there was a great article in the Journal of Gastroenterology.
Can cause ulcers, yeah.
Yep, and cause ulcers, and that's what's associated with aphis ulcers, and that's why we go in and we look at these canker sores, and we warn people not to have canker sores get initiated, because One of the bacteria is associated with it, Helicobacter pylori, is also associated with stomach ulcers and irritable bowel syndrome, and also associated with aphthous ulcers. And it has all sorts of immune effects, and it lives in dental plaque. So that stuff that lives in that dental plaque, a lot of it can be really bad, mean, nasty stuff. And environmentally, it's gotten much worse because we feed it.
Feed it with a poor quality diet,
Poor quality diet. Think back 150 years ago. Could you find someone walking down the street eating a Hershey bar? Did you see a Mars bar in anyone's mouth?
No, the sweets were very occasional. You know, like even 50 or 75 years ago, kids would get a nickel and they go to the candy store on Sunday and they get some sweets, but they weren't cramming candy into their mouth every day. Well, so what's today's intelligent medicine call to action? You've provided us with some fascinating, thought-provoking information, but practically speaking, are there certain products that people should look for? For xylitol, for example.
Well, for xylitol, there's a company called Clear that has all sorts of wonderful toothpaste, the Spry toothpaste. They have a Spry floss that has xylitol in it, which is just phenomenal. They have a lot of good xylitol mints and gums, and you should strive for five. You need to get like five exposures a day of xylitol to really be the healthiest. And xylitol itself, by the way, is an anti-inflammatory. It reduces inflammation naturally because it blocks a lot of the lipid polysaccharides that are involved coming from a lot of the pathogens of bad bacteria like Fusobacterium nucleatum. So they actually reduce the overall effects of inflammation, which means you feel healthier. And if you feel healthier, guess what? Exercise is easier. So you have everything going for you. I mean, it's a wonderful story. I just love to turn people on to xylitol and xylitol products and say, here's a great company, Clear. It makes all these wonderful toothpaste and flosses. And your kids want a sweet, give them a xylitol sucker.
Which are sweet tasting. You know, you can give them like a lozenge or, one of those. Or even, I think they have like, they have like little xylitol candies and things. So, and you yourself, people, how can people find out more about you? You have a website?
Yes, I do. And in fact, great. Let's see. What is the name of my website?
I have it here.
Dr. Mark. Oh, do you have it handy?
I do. You know, this, yeah. I think, you're guilty of one of the cardinal sins. You're almost perfect. The only thing that separates you from perfection is your excessive modesty.
Because I'm the guy who forgets his business card all the time.
We'll have to overcome that for you. It's Dr. D.R. Mark L. Cannon.com. Remember the L. M-R-A-K-L Cannon, as in Cannon gun, right? Not Canon cameras. drmarklcannon.com, and you'll find out all about Dr. Cannon and his lectures and his presentations and scientific references and media contacts, research publications, and find out how to contact him, track him down. If you're in the Chicago area or if you're any part of the country, you might want to pay him a visit in his practice in suburban Chicago. I want to thank you very much for joining us and providing us with just very thought-provoking information on the frontiers of oral health. Keep up the great work, and perhaps soon you'll provide us with some updates on fast-developing research projects.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I so appreciate it, and it was fun, and I love to talk, as you can tell. The problem is shutting me up.
Well, we got across a lot of very, very useful information to our listeners, so thanks for joining us, Dr. Mark Cannon. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.